Hello, this is Roy Thomas, and you're listening to the Power Cosmic Podcast.
Hey, true believers, it's that time you've been waiting for. Gather around your iPod, radio, or whatever you're listening to, for Mitch and John are about to go into the Power Cosmic. Sit back and listen to comic books, toys, movies, and more with those two guys that've got nothing better to do but talk about the stuff that you love. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, wake the neighbors, phone the kids. It's time for the Power Cosmic Podcast.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Power Cosmic Podcast, the only podcast fueled by pure fanboy energy. We are coming back from the Big Apple Convention in Manhattan. This time it's myself, John Cimino, as always, joined this time by promoter extraordinaire all the way down from Plastic City itself, Keith Gleason, and driving the car right now, you know him, you love him, you can't be without him, Michael P. Berry. All right, we are just coming back from the unveiling of what was in the box. And, okay, John, you can now tell everybody, what was the super secret thing we talked about last week?
It was the Roy Thomas 1964 Spider-Man costume, which was the first Spider-Man costume, in-house promo Spider-Man costume ever made. And it was in today's New York Post, right in the center. Nice full-color spread. And I just have to throw out, Jack Holtzman from Heritage kind of balked on us. He estimated the costume between $2,000 to $3,000, which was a complete BS. And he did that to hurt the costume to actually make that Action Comics number one more prominent in it. And I'm pissed. Roy's going to be writing a letter to him. I'm going to be contacting him just to tell him to shut up. Okay.
All right, now that you got that off your shoulder, since this is an auditory show, can you describe how the Spider-Man costume that you have in your possession differs from what fans typically see? The colors, the design a little bit, why is it different?
Well, it's different, number one, because it has purple leggings. And the reason why it has the purple leggings is because in the first few issues of The Amazing Spider-Man, it was colored purple. It had a warm purple to it in the interior pages. And so when the seamstress got the call to make this, she couldn't distinguish whether it was purple or blue. So she made the leggings purple and the torso blue. And what's more interesting about this is it was supposed to be in the 1964 Macy's Parade, which makes it pretty incredible. But the actors that were hired got drunk the night before, and so it never happened.
Oh, my God. We're leaving that in. That was on the floor. All right, I'll edit that out. Keith, you were also at the show. Now, Keith, you might know from the Hero Envy. You see him in a lot of shows with the lovely Amy Gleason now, married, knee. She does the crazy designs, if you want to call that. What did you think of today's Big Apple Con? Have you been to these before?
Yeah, I've been to a couple previously to this one. It seemed, you know, actually more of the same, actually. Hasn't changed too much in, like, the last 5 years that I haven't been here, you know? But, yeah, I mean, like, probably the highlight was Roy. I mean, his line was ridiculous all day.
Thank you for saying that, Mr. Gleason. Mr. Thomas's line was probably one of the, if not the best in the con. Mitch, you were around?
Yeah, it was very long. It went on forever. Jesus, what's going on? Yeah, no, it went on forever. But you know what? Let's talk about, okay, Roy's there, his impact on the world. What about all the fans there? We saw people in spandex. We saw people dressed up. We saw people buying comic books. I will give you this. The Mike Carbo Comic Cons are really a good, pure Comic Con. You'll see a lot of comic book dealers, not so many toy dealers as other shows, and some cosplayers there too. But compared to some other shows we've been to, how do you think it ranks as a pure Comic-Con or as opposed to like a media pop culture show?
For me, for one, I'm going to just say New York is a comic town. Like, you know, comics came out of New York, and you can just see, like, there's a lot of people that collect comics and they like the creators. Case in point for Roy's line, people just to talk about it, and like, and you know, he's a New York guy. Like, he's part of that old Marvel bullpen. So people were just, I like that claustrophobic comics and just all that stuff. I don't know. It's got the good feel. And like I said, the dirtiness and the floors and all that, it all reminded me of Michael Carbonaro. It's just perfect.
Oh, stop. That's really nice to put that out there.
Yeah, it's true.
What do you think, Keith?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's got that old 90s dirty comic
book. I see 80s.
Why do you say things negative? Dirty.
No, I think it's a...
See, Mitch doesn't understand. That's a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Oh, you look. He's not, no frills. It's not like we're spending money like big Javits glass structure and all that.
Well, yeah, look, it's like the floor's all filthy, but yet you see a guy that has like a friggin' a bunch of comics. You can see a Spider-Man number one, a Cap number one. Like
some of those, yeah.
Yeah, it's like that. It's like
when those shows were happening in the 90s, it was like, you're not welcome here, but you go there anyways. Right. You know? That's what it was like.
And you walk and like your foot gets stuck because it's some film on the floor. But it's like, but then you right there, right there's an AF-15 for friggin' 15,000.
The bathrooms, there's like a pile of toilet paper on the side, you know, on the floor and stuff. Well, but it's like,
but if you're looking
the other way, you know,
if you're looking for pure comics and you want to wheel and deal and trade and get some long lost issues, this is the place to do it. It's kind of like the stock market. You ever see when they show the floor of the stock market and there's people screaming and there's paper everywhere? They used to trade and yell and all that stuff before computers.
Yeah, that's why it's
this
great.
Is like old school. Yeah.
That's why it's great.
Well, that's the whole. I think that's what we were getting at, Mitchie. Yeah, it's like that old, like smelly, sweaty, but like comics. But I that's why I think that does well. Every time I go to New York, it's a comic town.
Yeah, and it's images you don't see at other shows.
No.
People going through boxes of stuff.
Yeah, you know what I mean? There's people kneeling.
That's great. Yeah.
I saw more ass crack today than I have in a long time because there's just these dudes leaning over, looking through boxes, and they don't give a crap that their ass is hanging out. I'm like, dude, seriously, you got the plumber's crack. Well, that's all right. He's looking through the dollar bin trying to find that issue of the Justice League. He didn't care. Okay. And nobody else seemed to care either. You notice that? No one was like, oh, God, look at the guy over there. His ass is hanging out. No. Yeah.
But see, it's funny. Mitch, we can go to, like, the look of Terrificon with the chandeliers and all that stuff. And it's, I mean, that's, no, that's a very nice, one of the best looking shows. I got to, not to kiss.
I'm sorry. It is the best looking show.
Well, me and Mr. Turnus, Kenny Rogers' stuntman, post plastic surgery, we say it the same thing. We've been to every Comic-Con like in the country, and yours looks the best. But Carbonaro's looks more like a comic convention, like an old school comic convention.
Yeah, exactly. Dirty, but we mean that with love.
Yeah, you know? like think of a diner, like in the a shitty diner, but they make like the best pancakes and potatoes and shit.
Yeah, exactly.
That's Carbonaro show.
All right, I just wanted to put it out there, too. But if you want to go to Disney World, where it looks nice and the bathrooms are smelling fresh and there's an attendant there, then you go to Terrificon. I'm just saying, there's both great shows, just a little different flavors, that's all.
Very different. But overall, though, I mean, you guys were upstairs. Talk about how some of the celebrities were upstairs. Who was doing pretty good, Keith?
I'd say... Mitch will agree with me. Barbara Eden was killing it upstairs. And she still looks great for somebody that's in 80s?
Yeah.
She's. And we talked with Foggy Nelson for a little while from Daredevil.
Darth Vader was there. Yeah.
And I wanted to talk to the Jerky Boys, but he was right next to the Darth Vader guy. Yeah, I wanted to go over and do, back it up, Mike, back it up.
Is that who it was?
Yeah.
Why didn't you talk to him? I'm sure he didn't have a big line.
No, he was never there, though. Every time I went over there, it was just his family. So I was like, all right. But I would have told him that I thought he was hilarious, you know?
And Mitch, who did you see who was doing pretty good there?
Barbara Eden, like you said, was killing it. You know, it's funny to see these people because I keep picturing Barbara Eden, Channel 11, when I was a kid watching WPIX in New York. And you just saw her with that gorgeous body of hers back when I was a kid. And she had that halter top, and her belly button was showing and stuff. She's 80-something years old, but in your mind, I don't know, when was that show, in the 60s?
Yeah.
How many years ago was that? 50 years ago. So she was in her late 20s maybe or something like that? She was
probably mid-20s, yeah, mid-20s.
Yeah, right? And you just can't get that image out of your head. Even like Julie Newmar, the Catwoman, she's in her, what, 80s, 70s now or whatever, but you just picture the woman in the leather cat suit from the Batman. I mean, when you're a kid, I mean, you know, let's get real. I mean, I'm a boy when I'm, like, Catholic schoolboy coming home, and that is pure sex appeal. When you're a little kid, like, holy crap, look at the body on her. You don't know what's going on. There's a stirring in your utility belt that you might not have been aware of, but then you see these people, and I got to admit, I've seen Barbara Eden today, I've seen Julie Newmar. They've actually, you know, held their looks up and stuff. Like, you know, they're not like when they were 25, but they're still very pretty women in their age.
Yeah, I agree.
What else do you like about a key?
About
the show.
I don't know. Just the old school comic book feel was like what I loved about it. So, yeah.
Well, speaking of old school feel, let's talk a little about Plastic City Comic Con.
All right.
Right? That you're a tell us a little about that, and let's start with your little quote there. What's your little saying?
My little quote is, big convention experience at hometown prices.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so, you know, like, basically the same kind of thing, you know, that I'm trying to emulate is, like, that kind of show. Like, I want people going through boxes of 50-cent boxes and finding that gem, and
but where Carbonaro's is more like that old school diner in the corner, like filthy diner that makes the great food. Yours is more like the Howard Johnson's or the Radisson hotels we used to go to.
Yeah, exactly, and you know, definitely a lot of
friendlies.
A lot of comic retailers, a lot of artists, writers, a lot of vendors. So it's gonna be, you know. Plus this year we're gonna have some panels, you know.
Where they tell us the dates and where we can go.
It's gonna be Saturday, July 29th, at Fitchburg, Mass, at the Wallace Civic Center, from 10 to 6, 1 day show. So you can drive down, take a look around, and then leave. You know,
from.
Yeah, $2 to get in.
Only personal, from personal experience, Keith had his first show last year, which was phenomenal.
We recorded there. That was like one of the early Power Cosmics, I think. It's you.
And why was that so good? It was like all of us, all friends.
God, that was Giarusso was yelling and Kupperberg was fighting. It was a madhouse. That episode is like a Cheech and Chong movie. Everyone's yelling and throwing shit at each other.
And we had such a blast. We had Carmine got his donuts. Somebody brought
Carmine. I brought him donuts from Donut Crazy down in Connecticut. Yeah.
We had Jimmy Talbot, who runs Boston Comic Con.
There from Super Mega.
Hall of Comics was there. And all the artists and stuff all made money. Everybody made money. And it was so fun. And Keith, everybody loved it because Keith is getting a quick reputation of not just being the Barba Papa of the industry, but the most lovable, most liked guy in the industry. And that's no doubt. And I'm going to be honest with you, Keith. You, that con has your feel to it. Like, you can always go to a con and you can just see them. Like, Carbonaro's, you know it's Carbonaro's. Mitch, your show, you know it's yours. You go to Jimmy Talbot's, you know, Boston, you knew it was Jimmy. It just feel like him. And the same thing with your, with Plastic City. You can just feel. It's just a more solid, solid show.
Papa?
No, Barba Papa.
What is that?
Like, they're like the cartoon blob family.
You know, remember the family, the Barba Papas from the 70s?
Gleep and Glue.
Yeah. And, but there was
from the Herculoids?
No, yeah, but
it was a whole family of them, all different colors.
Oh, God, no. Wow.
Look it up. That was such a famous thing. The 70s.
Yeah, 70s. Easily. But, and the big thing for our show is we make it affordable for everybody, vendors and... consumers. So free parking, kids under 12 free, $2 to get in. That's our thing.
Keith's being modest, but I'm going to have to say, Keith is just more in it for having a good con experience because, as we all know, cons are like our celebrity-centric now, and it's like how many celebrities we can squeeze in there, how much money can we squeeze from the people, and then hopefully some of that money trickles down to everything else. Where Keith, he's not looking for that. He's looking for, an old-school Comic-Con experience where there's some creators, but it's mostly people go there to see art and stuff or buy some comics. And what was so interesting about Lemonster's last year, how many people were first-time Comic-Conners? Like, unbelievable.
Yeah, it was crazy, and that's what I want from the show. I want people to come in And instead of just walking around, walk out of there with bags of stuff, you know? So, like, they have the money to spend instead of, you know, paying,
you
like...
food trucks outside.
Yeah.
It was fun.
It had food. And that's what it was. It was a fun experience. It was just, like, going there. And, like, especially for us being vendors there, too, it was like Animal House or, like, at a...
It was Meatballs. It wasn't Animal House. It was more of a Kumbaya.
Yeah, it was like an
Spaz.
Held their hand.
You know what?
Woods?
You know what? Though I was thinking, there's not a lot of comic shops. A lot of comic stores are just going the way of the dodo. They're just going out of business. I mean, more and more. And I think these shows, in a way, it's good that there are so many of them because this is how people are being exposed to comic books. I mean, the older stuff. You know, where are you going to find old comics if there's no more comic shops? So you go to these shows, and you get the omnibuses. We had a guy today, Larry, was that Larry Doherty? He was selling a bunch of old omnibuses, and Keith bought some, and I was going to go shopping too, but I got so many at my house now. But the cons are really good. You can go and get one of those big-ass comic omnibuses for, like, what, 15, 20 bucks?
Yeah.
And it'll have, like, 40 or 50 issues of a certain storyline in there. Yeah. So that's a good way to get back into comics. And I saw a lot of kids there today. Their dads were dragging them around. And I don't know, maybe that's what it should be. Maybe there should be a con. A small scale. Yeah. You know, none of this. I can't afford.
I think, like you said, there is a lot of cons coming up, but there is room for these smaller shows like we're doing. And
quality smaller shows.
Quality smaller shows. Where there is the bigger shows where you can have the celebrities.
Yeah.
And people want those autographs, but there's also a section of the comic fandom that wants these old Howard Johnson type shows where they're quality. You go in and you bring your back issue list and you fill up your bags, you know? And you get those, those 50-cent books, again, that you don't see at a lot of the big shows.
You know what I think it is? It's like, when you go to Major League, I don't know if you guys go, but we go to ball games. I'll take the kids. Mike can attest to this. I take my boys. We used to go to Yankee Stadium. It was a fortune, okay? Oh, it cost a fortune between the parking. The seats. Then you had to get the kids, of course, hot dogs and some soda and ice cream and a souvenir. We're talking hundreds of dollars. My God, to go to a ballpark. It shouldn't.
And you could be going to see somebody's fourth starter up against somebody's, emergency call-up because their ace is actually hurt that day. You can take your kid to Yankee Stadium and Derek Jeter's got the day off and you still spend $450.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And here's the thing. It's an arm and a leg. It's like a mini vacation to go to a ball game. Yep. And I equate that to...
I don't know how people afford it.
No, but I equate that to these Comic Cons. We went to a show last year in Philadelphia, Mike and I. I took him down there because he wanted to go to a big one. And they had Chris Evans, Chris Hemsworth, Loki, Tom Hiddleston, Michael J. Fox. Who else?
We saw Bucky the Winter Soldier.
Leah Thompson. Yeah, Anthony Mackie.
Haley Atwell, your girl.
If we had a restraining order against you, this is ridiculous.
Two of those dudes wouldn't even shake my hand because they had to get us through that line so fast.
Yeah.
They didn't even look at us.
They couldn't.
Anthony Mackie was the only one who was nice to us.
But I'm just saying, this is what it's like. You go to a minor league ballpark game. You bring the kids. It's $5 to get in. It's a hot dog's $1 or $2, something like that. That's what these shows are becoming like. Some family outing that you could take your kids to a Comic Con. They could buy a couple books. You're not going to be broke. So that's what this has become. Those are becoming the old time entertainment for comic book fans if they want to take their kids. And Keith's show's good. And even Terrific Con, I get celebrities, but it's not expensive. I mean, I keep it purposely cheap.
And that ruins the experience because when you have those smaller shows, it's just more fun. And you're not breaking the bank and you're just having a good time. Because sometimes it's like you said, you're paying so much to get to these big shows. But the experience, if it goes sour, it doesn't matter. You're just another number and get pushed away.
I can't imagine.
The people that went to that Philadelphia con, they spent hours just standing in line.
I said it's
just
like
standing in line.
It's like going to Disney World and not getting on the rides. You wait in line for 3 hours. You meet this movie actor for 2 seconds. Literally, it was 2 seconds. We walked by Haley Atwell and what was the guy's name that preached?
Dominic Cooper,
who was Howard Stark.
With his Kleenex in his nose.
$150
for that.
This girl, we were there, and Dominic Cooper, who plays Howard Stark, and he's on Preacher, he had a cold, okay? He was blowing his nose, And they were in such a rush to get the people out of there like a factory. This young girl who was in front of us, that's all her friend. They saved their money up. They waited to get this autograph. You know, they were so excited, right? The freaking cameraman took the picture. Well,
Dominic did it on purpose.
Oh, I don't think he did on purpose. I think he was blowing his nose.
He was just goofy. By that time Sunday, he was punch drunk. I mean, I'm not trying to be, you know, I'm sure he's a nice guy, but he was, at that point, he had enough.
Whatever. The girl's photo was a picture of them standing there. The two girls are smiling ear to ear, so excited. Haley Atwell smiling, and Dominic Cooper's got a freaking tissue wiping his nose, and that's the picture the girl got
for
$150 after she waited in line for two hours. At least it was insulting. It's not my money. I was angry for her, and she's showing it to me. And I'm like, you know what? Go back and retake that girl's picture again, because look, they don't, and they're gonna sit there, and that's the photo they get to show their friends. It might be unique because he's blown his nose, but it was insulting to the girl.
Last year, the guy who had Katrina Law jump on her back, that was unique. It only cost $30, and she didn't have a Kleenex in her nose. She was holding on to that guy and hugging him, which was super nice to her.
So I'm just saying, imagine spending all that. That $150 was just the photo.
Yeah.
That wasn't her admission. I think that was like $40 or $50 just to get in there that day.
We went in the back door.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, to me, what was the worth it? What was that girl's? I mean, that would turn me off. If I was a Dominic Cooper fan after that, I would have ripped it up and said, "Screw you."
So the big Comic-Con experience isn't as it is said to be, right?
I don't know. I just. I can't imagine.
But we won't be getting that at Plastic City, right, Keith?
I haven't been to your con yet, but it sounds like one of those old conventions that my father used to bring me to.
Dollar Cigar
East
Box.
Hartford on Brainerd
Road. Yeah, exactly.
Just walked around. Yeah. It was just tables and one of those old Elks or VFW Knights of Columbus.
Yeah.
And you just went there to buy comic books. And you left with a big stack and you were happy as hell when you went home.
And it's great energy there.
Sounds like.
Yeah, and it's great energy because we're all friends. It's like it's a great hangout.
The thing is, I always try to figure out how much money do people bring in that door to spend?
A couple hundred bucks.
So they should be able to distribute that nicely around the show. Buy a couple comics, buy a couple toys, buy some sketches,
But some people do. A lot of people bring stuff to sell and then buy. So they bring stuff, they sell it.
What do you mean they buy? You have friends that come to the shop? Have you brought books to stores?
I have friends that come to your con.
And sell?
And sell.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And they buy. Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. People come to your show to sell stuff.
Without buying a booth. They just come with a backpack of books?
No. Just like your customers will bring a couple of books or a piece of art that they've had in their house. They'll sell it to one of your vendors.
Oh, I had no idea. And you know people that did that?
Yes.
Oh, good.
And then they take that money, and then they go buy something else.
Yeah.
And they have a great day. Maybe they make a little bit of money.
And they go to the casino.
And they're very happy.
So what we're saying is everything with Plastic City to the Terrific Con to the Big Apple Con, this was more of a fun experience.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I agree with what he said. It's like the kind of show that you come and you buy stacks of stuff, and the good thing about this year is, like, we've moved out of the VFW to the Civic Center, which is like a giant hockey rink. So we're going to be able to fit like 100 plus tables in there. So we'll have a lot of stuff to go through.
So a lot more fun. I gotta talk about this before I forget. Something very interesting happened, to go back to Roy Thomas and the Spider-Man costume, was because it was in the paper, after Roy's ex-wife saw that, and she came. She showed up.
Jeannie.
It was like unbelievable. And I ended up getting her. I got the interaction on video, and it was so cool that she's actually with Roy in those pictures.
Is that going to be up on the Roy Thomas appreciation page?
I already put it up there.
Oh, did you? Yeah, tell me about that. We never mentioned that page.
Yeah, I started the Roy Thomas appreciation page on Facebook. So if you're a fan, please go there. I put in updates, all pictures and stuff. But anything Roy is saying or his appearances, you know, things that are coming out, I put all in there. I'm basically Roy Thomas's voice, internet voice. But it was just really amazing. She showed up, and I stopped everything. You know, we took pictures, and it was great. It was full circle because once again, she was with Roy in a lot of those pictures of the in the costume with Roy as she was Invisible Girl, and Roy was Spider-Man, and that costume brought them together. And talking to Roy about it, that's going to be a little story I'm going to be writing in Alter Ego in an upcoming issue of Alter Ego, because it really was that was cool.
Yeah, and he liked it, because remember I was watching the table for you after that, and he turned to me and he was like, "Yeah, it was good to see Jeannie."
Yeah. And then he went after one of his panels, he talked to her for like another half hour, and I walked her out and stuff. But that was just a weird experience that, like, but it was a great experience. Like, I witnessed history that just happened, and that all came from the article. But
a little joke to him was like, "Oh, your new wife's gonna be like this." Yeah, like, you know, making the motion like she was gonna get hit, but he's like, "Oh, no, she's not like that, you know." And then he went back to signing.
That was great. So overall. So, Mitch, last on Big Apple Con, your last words on that?
Enough said.
I'm just saying, last view on that overall.
I can't wait for the next one. Actually, yeah. When's Carpo doing again? Next March? We had to wait a whole year for this. It's always fun.
He was a gracious host. You know, I never met the guy.
Congratulations.
And he was really nice to us, and I couldn't say anything bad about the guy. He was really nice to us. He was nice to, you know, the guests. I saw him walking around. I was really impressed with the way he was. You know, he had no problem welcoming us to that con. It was really, I really appreciated it.
And Mr. Gleason?
I echo the sentiments here. I had fun. I found a few trades I needed. And, blast, and I'd go back again.
All right, well, there we have it, a great second part to What's in the Box, and it was a good time, better than I actually thought that it would be because of all the stuff that went down. And the costume also got a great reaction. We saw Robert Bruce and who else was there? Reed Tucker, who wrote the article. Our buddy Reed.
Jim Turner, Frank Cass, Kenny, the whole crew was there. It was old home week.
Frank Cass was good.
I would have known that Barbara Eden would knock it out of the park.
I mean,
she had a line like you wouldn't believe.
See?
Yeah, so we'd say.
The Power Ranger guy.
Yeah.
The Power Ranger guy, Roy Thomas, and Barbara Eden kicked it out of the park because it just was unbelievable. So, Mitch, an ending.
Oh, I know what you're saying. Oh, and that's that.
Is it that's that? Or is it just begun?
No, it's that's that.
And that's that.
All right.
This has been a production of Big Fedora Marketing, LLC. The folks that bring you the terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.